Joining me today on this special podcast, I am joined by Bart Cooper, a contemporary artist who's doing some project work for the Negro League Museum fundraiser. Bart, how are we doing?
We're doing good. Just waking up not too long ago. We're in Southern California right now, Los Angeles, and it's a sunny day, and I see it's nighttime over there.
It is, very much. I'm literally about 2 hours away from going to bed myself, and it's raining, and it is not the nicest of days in Manchester. We'll just swap if you want. You can come into my bubble and I'll go into yours, but I can't promise I'll do as good a job as your artwork as you're doing.
Flattered.
Right. As you can see behind us, there's a stunning piece of work there. Quite a lot of your artwork follows a similar sort of style, would you say? What was your background within art?
My background, I've been doing art all my life. So since I started at the age of three. So the age of three and started doing art and picked up a pencil. Something I guess I developed from my father at the time. You know, my father was, I saw him drawing at the time. And, you know, just after he was done drawing a portrait, I just figured, I thought I could do it. So I just picked up the pencil and just fell in love with it and never put down the art since. And I've been doing it for some time now, all my life.
That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Is your dad quite an influence on you? On your mm-hmm. artwork?
Yeah. Well, in the art, he was the spark of the influence of the creativity. And then, you know, pretty much throughout my life, there was other influences that of artists that I saw that inspired me, you know?
That's cool. What other inspirations have you taken while you've been doing your work?
I would say some of the key inspirations. We're talking sports, so let's go into. There was one athlete that actually inspired me to be an artist, and he was a American football player turned artist, and his name was Ernie Barnes.
Yeah.
So Ernie Barnes was one of the main ones that inspired me growing up. At the time, I didn't know who he was. Of his story, but I used to watch the sitcom Good Times. So on Good Times, there was a painting that always used to show on the sitcom Good Times when the starting of the show. And, you know, it's just a bunch of people in the club partying and dancing and stuff like that. And that painting always used to inspire me to want to create. And I later found out it was done by Ernie Barnes, who was an American football player turned painter, you know, yeah. a famous painter. And he did the painting for that piece. So that's where one of my inspirations come from.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Do you play much sports yourself?
Yeah. When I was in school, I played sports pretty much throughout from young all the way up. I started off my first sports I played was soccer, you know, football, you guys would call it. That was the first thing I played. I played soccer when I was real little, you know, within 9 years old and, you know, just a young and then growing up. And then I adapted to American football and played American football and from elementary to, I would say, high school.
Yeah.
And then I track and field. So I did track and field, and then I did wrestling.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, wrestling. So, those were the sports that I played. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's awesome. I did some wrestling not so long ago. Not like the WWE, WWF wrestling, like the
Olympic stuff. Greco, yeah.
It's so, we could do an entire podcast just talking about that. Yeah, it's a great sport. Yeah, I love it. I love watching it. I love I'll take a part of it, but age got the better of me and I've not been able to do a lot for quite a while, but I do miss it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's awesome. So let's take it back towards yourself instead of me waffling on about wrestling. Mm-hmm. Why do you do what you do?
I feel art is just something that is very, you know, it's something that I would do. If I wasn't doing this for a living, I would probably still be doing art. It's, it just gives me a place of escape. where I can kind of escape the world and just go into my own little, you know, zone when I'm creating and stuff like that. So it's very therapeutic for me, and it helps me, you know, it just helps me get by throughout my days, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little, when I'm creating, I feel like I'm on a mini vacation or something like that I'm away from all the hustle and bustle of the world and all the crazy things that's happening. It just gives me that feel to be able to inspire and create. So I love it.
That's awesome. And how do you work? Do you do it at home? You said before you have studio. Is that in your house or?
Yeah, at the moment, I did have a studio, but I kind of, now I'm working in-house, looking to open up another studio again. But, you know, because of this pandemic that we're going through, like all these things that's happening in the U.S. right now with the coronavirus and all this kind of stuff, everybody's kind of just been, you know, just keeping stuff in-house. So I've just been pretty much in the house and just creating, which is giving me more time to create more stuff, you know, just not going to a lot of places that I usually would go to socialize. But now I'm just kind of just in studio, in my house, creating and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. What would you say is integral to your work as an artist?
I would say in what's very integral is having a story and a meaning behind my work, having a sense of responsibility. So when I create something, I have an understanding that this is something that's going to outlast me, that's going to be here longer, way after I'm gone. So keeping that integrity in there intact has to be in the pieces to know that it does it a sort of justice of where someone looking at it, they can get a feeling, they can get a story from it, they can get a message from it, and educated information from this that can kind of like enlighten them and, you know, encourage them or inspire them to step away and be a better person and a better person for humanity, you know? So integrity definitely plays a role in every piece that I do.
Looking over your work that you've got on your Instagram page, there's some absolutely beautiful pieces on there. The one with the child with the Mark Twain message is gorgeous. The Colin Kaepernick piece as well are some of my personal favorite ones that you've done. Is there any piece of work that you've done that really stands out to you? Which one are you the most proud of?
I would say, I mean, there's so much that I've been doing, because when I'm working on a piece, it's usually going off of an emotion or a feeling or something that's touching me at the time. So like, as I move, you know, each one kind of gives some sort of message. But I would say the one that stands out that has been really, I've just been seeing how it's been affecting people and how people have been taken to it, is there's one with a little boy, and it's called Black Boy Zen. And it's just a little boy. He has his feet crossed, he's in like a yoga pose, and he's meditating.
Yeah.
And then you know, his eyes close, and he just has this sense of peace where he's in the clouds and he's just kind of just focused in his own world. But he's at rest and he's at peace. And at his feet, there's a daisy growing, like a flower growing. And he's just kind of just focused and just in his own world and in his own peace. And a lot of people have gravitated to that one, and it's speaking to people in a broad, in a just a massive scale of how it affected them and what it's saying and how it just gives that presence of peace when people see it.
Yeah.
That's the one that's doing it for me this year. Yeah.
That's cool. What's it like when you get feedback and praise like that for such a
I love it because it's something that that's to say, I give it a thought before I actually create the work. So I kind of know, okay, this one, you know, it's not surprising, but it's like something that I it's a goal, you know? So when I see people starting to get the response from it, it's definitely a kind of like a sense of accomplishment and that I executed the goal, you know? Because now they're, you know, people are actually being moved by it and they're feeling it. And that's exactly what I thought when I created the piece, you know? So it feels great. It feels great. It gives me a sense of accomplishment that I kind of hit my mark, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Is there any piece of work that isn't your own that's moved you emotionally or that's affected you in any way?
At the moment, let me think. I would say within this year, I don't think there's anything that's really moved me yet, you know, because I've been, you know, everything has been, I've been kind of just withdrawn and just focused in my own little world right now.
Okay.
And it's simply because of, you know, I don't know how is it over there in Manchester right now with Corona and the COVID and all that stuff. Is it big out there, or is things locked down, or what's going on over there?
Well, it's a bit of a mess. I think I've not really watched the news that much, to be honest with you, because it's just rather depressing. But from what I've seen, we've got like one of the highest rates in Europe. You've got lockdowns, you've got to stay away 2 meters apart from people, you've got to wear a mask, you don't have to wear a mask. It's quite confusing, but I personally find it really stressful because I find that I'm trying my hardest to keep myself and my family safe. But you've got people that are really blasé about it and like reach across you in the supermarket to get something. It's like, how big do you think 2 meters is? I'm like 6'3", 6'2", so I'm just short of 2 meters tall. And if I fall over and I squash you, you're not social distance. I should be able to hit the floor and be about that much room and you'll be safe. But when it first started off, we were only allowed out the house for an hour to do exercise, and that was it. And it's just crazy. It has been hard to find little pleasures in stuff, but doing stuff like the podcasting and talking to chaps like yourself and spending time with the family, I suppose it's made it all more bearable.
So that's exactly what's going on here in the US right now. It's kind of just best word to describe it is confusing, you know. So I haven't really been looking at, you know, other arts, because I've just been, you know, I mean, there's so much stuff that do inspire me, from music to, you know, just so many things that I look at. But as far as like art right now, I haven't seen anything that really inspired me from another art standpoint. If there's anything, it's stuff from the past, you know, older artists that are long and gone and passed away. Some of their pieces still inspire me. I used to go to the museums and museums before I actually work on a piece to gain some inspiration and stuff like that. Nothing has really, I would say, one second, let me get this book real quick. This is
Of course, yeah.
Who inspires me at the moment. So this is his name is Lawrence Altidema. And his stuff is inspiring. And he's an older, you know, older painter, classical painter and stuff like that. So that's what's inspired me at the moment. Aside from that, like I said, this time that we're in has just kind of just had me isolated, you know, just in my cave and just working on my projects and stuff like that. So that's where I've been just getting inspiration from, listening to music and stuff like that. And, you know, just trying to stay, like you said, just staying off the media of news, and because this is so much different message. We're in a political season right now where everybody's trying to vote and pick sides and stuff like that. So there's all kinds of stuff going on all over the place. I try to just tune those things out and just focus on the clarity of my vision of what I want to put out there and not let it affect me too much, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I've been with the whole inspiration thing on the art.
That's cool. So you said that you listen to a lot of music while you work. Is that something you can't live without in your studio while you're working? Is there anything?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. There's no way I can create without music. I have to either have headsets on. If it's late at night, I got headsets on. During the day, I have music playing. I usually always start my day with music when I wake up, you know, just to get an atmosphere going. Music will always kind of set the vibe, the tone, you know. If I need something upbeat, if I'm working on a piece that's going to be very, you know, serious and very kind of straightforward and strong, I listen to that type of music that can give me that kind of feeling. So when I'm creating, I can kind of like take that same kind of energy or vibe and put it into the work, you know? If it's something mellow, I listen to some mellow music and hits and stuff like that. Yeah, so yeah, music is definitely something I recommend to always, I always work to. Yeah, I'm never working just quiet.
Yeah. It's sort of like when you go into the gym, you listen to, like I said, then you listen to certain music to sort of get you in the mood or get you pumped up for it. That's cool. Anything you listen to at the moment?
I've actually been listening to a lot of Marvin Gaye.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Just Marvin Gaye, like, you know, just it's a sense of where, I guess, I don't know. I love the future, but where is right now, I don't like it. So I like to go back a little bit to some classy, you know, some music that can really have a vibe and a feeling, you know, that has a lot of emotion in it, mm-hmm. you know. So Marvin Gaye always has like some sort of soul and some sort of feeling to it. So like his lyrics and his voice, you know, so it definitely gets me in the mood. So if it's not Marvin Gaye, it's usually James Brown, you know, to get moving and upbeat and stuff like that. So those are the two people that I'm really listening to right now at the moment, you know.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Do you have your style, you use a lot of, is it oil that you use, you know?
It's acrylic. So acrylic, I use a lot of acrylic, acrylic paintings. And then sometimes I mix media. So sometimes I use multiple things, like I'll use some digital, I'll use some, and I'll mix it with some acrylic and, you know, use some diamond dust and, you know, just all these different gold foils and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's a mixture of multi pieces to create the piece.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. what is it, the picture that got behind you and the image you got there? Is that mm-hmm. pretty much how you use that one, or is it, how did you create that piece?
Yeah, that's acrylic, that's a mixed medium piece. So that's acrylic mixed with some multimedia digital paintings and stuff like that. So it's digital paint with acrylics and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. What do you think it is in it that makes your work that pop and stand out more?
I would say the color. Because with my pieces, color plays a major role. Like color always, you know, learning color theory, growing up and stuff like that, it gives you the feeling. That's where you can get the moods and the feelings from. So if I want something to feel warm, if I want my audience to feel warm, if I want them to feel cold, if I want them to feel loved, then I use warmer colors. If I do a mixture of colors, you're going to get a mixture of emotions and stuff like that from it. And it just pops and it just stands right into your face. So like, yeah, the color format is definitely what I love working with, the different types of colors that set the moods.
Yeah.
I play a lot with that.
Did you look into a lot of color psychology then when you were...
Yeah.
You have that idea in mind when you're doing your piece, or do you sort of do the outline and then think what colors can I use on top of this?
So like I think about the vision. So I kind of create everything in my head before I actually start going to the drawing board. So like, the first is the sketch and the visual, but then I take time for the colors. So like now it's like, what colors am I going to use? What feeling do I want the person to feel when they're looking at this piece, you know? So that plays a major role on that delivery is the color.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the Negro League Museum project. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved in that? Did you ask to be involved in it, or were you sought out to be a creator?
No, I was sought out. I was sought out, and I was reached out to them to create the piece. And see if I wanted to be a part of it. And I was just sold right off the feeling, because I have a heart for that, for the Negro League, the story of it, the history of it, you know, just having that connection and just seeing how a lot of those men were in that league, and, you know, and then, you know, letting their story be known and getting the recognition is something that I definitely took heart to, you know. You know, just jumping into that. So right now I'm working on a piece, and it's going to be Jackie Robinson. So I'm trying to do a Jackie Robinson piece. He's definitely an inspiration of mine. And I would love to do a piece, the piece I'm doing, hopefully, like, you know, it can touch other people and keep his story going and his message going on all the things he endured, you know?
Yeah.
So definitely. Yeah, I love it.
I can kind of visualize from what I've seen for your existing work and the Jackie Robinson thing, and I'm excited to see it already. It sounds like it's going to be an amazing piece. Is there are any other stories from the Negro Leagues that sort of inspired you or that you would like to explore further?
I would say, like, that's the thing. The only part that's really out of that is the transition of Jackie Robinson. That's one of the main ones, like, how, you know, how he transitioned through the whole thing. So, like, his story, I mean, just his story in general, his whole everything just is the one that really stuck out to me.
So,
like, I'm just going with that. But just, you know, just seeing what those guys had to endure and, you know, segregation and just all these other kind of things in the in the U.S., my dog's over here. I got hardwood floors, and he's scratching all over the place, wanting attention. But so that's what stuck out to me the most. So like just seeing his story is what really inspired me, and it's giving me more now understanding to dig more into a lot of the other guys and get more information about it. And this project is actually, you know, things that I was ignorant to, is giving me more insight to want to show interest in and look more into it. So connecting with this project, it's definitely educating me as well, you know, on some of the things I didn't know, you know? So I'm open to it, and I'm very open to learning. So that's where I'm kind of going with it. But Jackie Robinson, like I said, his story it's something that always resonated with me. So, you know, that was an easy, yes, I'm in. You know, I heard about it. Yeah.
Are you a Dodgers fan as well, then, being in LA and the Jackie Robinson
Dodgers? Link? Yeah. I'm starting to be a Dodgers fan. I'm liking it. But I'm more from Philly. So Philadelphia area. So like, but you know, I've been living in I moved from Philadelphia out here to LA. I moved out here, and I've been out here for 11 years now, going on 12. So, you know, I'm pretty much a LA native now. So yeah, Dodgers is starting to come off on me a little bit. You know.
Yeah. Yes. Going back to what you're saying before about learning, I think it's quite interesting because my podcast I normally do is about British baseball, and I don't really touch on Major League Baseball or its history. Just usually retweeting people's posts about that that do follow Major League Baseball. So I'm pretty much in the same shoes with yourself with the Negro Leagues and learning. I was listening to a show before about there's another artist who's doing like a collaboration, like a montage of like players, so like voting on the outfielders, infielders, and just listen to the people talk about the players and their stories that are involved in it too. Massively eye-opening. And I find in the history as well is really, really intriguing. Do you think you'll look more into it after the project's finished? Can you see the Negro
Baseball
being something you pursue?
Yeah, definitely something I will definitely look into, because everything that I'm interested in, I go into and I do my historical, like I said, the pieces that I work on, I don't do anything without going into the history. So like a lot of it is what I'm taking in right now. So like, I'm going deeper into it. And even after this, I'm definitely going to continue to, you know, I never walk away with information and it doesn't become part of me. So like, I'm definitely engaged in this, and this has my interest. So I'm going to be all in and doing more research and just learning about more people and more of their stories and stuff like that. Cause it's definitely educational, you know, seeing the transition. So like, yeah, I'm definitely walking away with this with, I'm going to go deeper into it after this is done, you know?
So how are you as an artist still staying on top of your game? And have you found that you've developed and changed your styles over the last 10 years, 5 years?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. My style changes. Well, my technique will change sometimes too. So like, as you've seen, like the purple series, you know, that's a technique that I'm using with the, you know, the purple, the splatter colors, some of the use of color. Then I had another series that I just worked on, finished, called the Hero series, that had a different kind of style to it too, and technique.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, the Lawrence Tutema that I've been on studying, you know, he has that classical approach to it, that kind of real floaty with his lines and structure and colors that he's using. I'm kind of, you know, I'm inspired by that. So like, you know, some of those techniques, you're going to see some of that into my new works and stuff like that. You know, how, you know, he kind of used his colors and techniques and shadings and stuff like that. So, you know, I've always tried to reinvent and just change, or like, you know, something that inspires me, I try to study it and then put it to my, you know, to my talents and my skills and stuff like that. So you'll always see me evolving, you know, as an artist and pushing myself.
That's cool. And with the virtual tour that's going to be taking place, have you decided which pieces are going to be involved in it, or are you just literally going to open the floodgates and let people feast?
Well, yeah, people could be able to go on my website and purchase and stuff like that. But the main one I know that people are going to probably feast on is it's going to be the Jackie Robinson piece. So I'm going to present that one to the public when it's ready to go. And I'm excited to see the response from it and see how people gravitate to it and the direction that I took with him, you know, and place it in there. So I'm excited to see how that one goes. So it's most likely going to be the Jackie Robinson piece.
That's cool. I'm really excited to see it, I must say. I am. And that's pretty much sort of comes towards the end of my questioning and my time with you, Bart. This has been an absolute trip. I've loved every bit of it. It's been brilliant. I love chatting to you before we hit record, and I'm sure we'll have a nice chat afterwards as well. One thing I like to do on my show is I leave the last word open to the guest. So, Bart Cooper, the floor is all yours. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we go? Any shout-outs you want to give? Any advice? Any parting words?
Well, I would like to thank everybody that brought me on board with this. I'd like to thank you for reaching out to interviewing me and being able to put my story out there into the platform. I've never been to Manchester yet, but, you know, I hope, like, you know, people out there can hear my story and get an understanding of who I am. And check out some of my art and stuff like that on my websites or my Instagram, you know, B_art1. And you can check me out on Instagram, or you can go to bartcooperart.com and check out some of the stuff that I'm doing there. And I also have another business, mdbybartcooper.com, where you can order from there. And I actually ship to those parts. I could ship to Manchester there too. So if you like some of my prints, some of my more affordable canvas prints and stuff like that you want for your house, you can check that out and order, and we'll ship some stuff to you guys too. So, like, you know, thank you for having me on here. Thank you for showcasing me on your platform, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it well. And you guys stay safe out there, and I hope everything works out great in Manchester. And I hope things work out here in the U.S. as well during this season and this COVID situation pandemic that we're going through right now. Yeah. And yeah, that's it.
Great stuff. Bart, I'd love to, if possible, to do a follow-up one with you once your piece of work's completed, so we can talk about it a bit more. So if you're up for another chat in the not too distant future, just let me know.
Yeah, just reach out to me and I'll be open. We can set up a time and a date and then we can make it happen.
Brilliant. Lovely stuff. Bart Cooper, thank you very much.
Thank you, Matthew.